Do you trust them to invest anything?
No, 100% like, no.
Yeah.
I guess that is the simple question, isn't it?
I trust them to stumble into the one, like, massive losing investment they could possibly pick.
Zach Abraham, we need an election edition of Swamp Watch, okay?
Let's do it.
So there's a lot of disagreement, maybe confusion, and understandably so, around something that's on the ballot for Washington voters. So it's an amendment. It's Amendment 8201. So if people still have their ballots, this is going to be on there. And we have this long-term care fund in Washington state. And like, look, I don't even want the long-term care program to exist, but apparently it's here to stay, at least for now. So there's some concern that it's not going to be solvent. And I think that's true. I think we already know, like, it's basically already in insolvency. So this amendment would allow the state to invest Washington CARES funds more broadly. It's already being invested in things like bonds, treasury bills, but now this would allow it to be invested into private equities and other stocks. So how are you voting on it? Yes or no?
No.
Why no?
They're too stupid to recognize what they don't know. So they're going to go in there and they're going to listen to these investment people that are going to pitch them on private equity. And they're going to tell them you're going to get equity returns with fixed income volatility, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But people are stupid enough to believe it. And then what they're going to do is they're going to be able to unload their illiquid private equity holdings on the idiots that make the decisions for Washington State. And their investors will end up taking, you know, a 60 to 70 cent on the dollar bath on this stuff. And it'll be insolvent faster than it would have been otherwise. That's how this plays out.
Now, one of the things that I have pause about this is there's a big segment of Republicans that are saying, yes, vote for it in Olympia. And it was passed with bipartisan. I mean, this amendment was agreed to send to voters on a bipartisan basis. There's a split amongst conservatives. A bunch of the more mainstream conservatives say, yes, vote yes on it. And then some harder line ones say, don't trust the state, vote no. So I guess, like, why do you think a lot of Republicans would support this if there's not some potential for it to be good?
Okay, so we're going to sit here and talk about how despicably these people manage public funds, and then we're going to give them carte blanche over another one? I mean, it's just, it's idiocy. Any Republican, again, it isn't even about the, if I get a vote in the state of Washington as a citizen that asks me if I want to allocate another cent for these guys to tell me where it's gonna go. No! Everything they do is a disaster. All they do is incinerate money. And it'll be just like them to run into this private equity moment. They will be exit liquidity for a bunch of corporations that throw off that they're too dumb and unsophisticated to realize they're buying garbage. And they'll end up being exit liquidity for BlackRock. And meanwhile, their investors will take a 60 to 70, no, not their investors, our taxpayers, right? We'll take, if you don't like the decisions these people make with general budgets, why in the world would you give them purview over more funds? It's nuts.
Well, the funds are already coming to them, right? So the funds are already coming to them. So I don't think it involves more funds, but it's investing those funds. And if they lose them, then I guess they do lose our money.
Do you trust them to invest anything?
No, 100% like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that is the simple question, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, what do you trust them to do? I trust them to stumble into the one, like, massive losing investment they could possibly pick, right? Why? It's called a track record.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know what's funny is I should probably vote yes for it and just see where they place the funds and then just short everything that they go long. That's probably what I should do.
You know, well, it is possible that it passes. So then maybe you'll have an opportunity to do that. Just in the interest of fairness, I wanted to play a clip from a Republican state lawmaker on why they believe we should vote for it.
I think what's clear to me is that the state has a good track record of investing funds and getting good returns. So personally, I don't, viewing this constitutional amendment in a vacuum, I don't have any problem with it whatsoever.
So one of the things on this subject that I saw that kind of had me thinking more toward the way you're thinking, there was this article from the Center Square that came out, the headline, California State Retirement Fund lost 71% of $468 million it put into clean energy. And it won't say how. So basically, the investments there for their and their retirement pension fund in the state of California is estimated to be $180 billion short, okay? $180 billion.
So and apparently, growing by the day.
Yeah, so apparently they lost 71% of basically half a billion dollars that was invested into clean energy and technology private into a clean energy and technology private equity fund. So is what happened to that money exactly what you're saying is going to happen to our long-term care money?
Yes, because they invest ideologically and they're idiots and they don't understand. You don't get to run around with pension money and insurance money and play Captain Planet with your favorite investment choices, because that's what happened. When they were making those investments, guys like me were sitting there looking at them, looking at people in California and going, get ready for those to be zeros, because you know why? And here's the lunacy of it all. Do you know why we thought it was going to be zeros? Because the underlying technology wasn't economically feasible. Meaning they willingly invested in technologies that had no way of generating a profit.
Yeah.
So now guess what they've got? They've got no clean energy. And on top of it, 71% of that money's gone.
How hard is it, Zach, to lose 71% in a private equity fund?
I mean, it depends on who's doing the investing.
How hard is it for a semi-competent person to lose 71%?
I'd say, look, it's a tough question because, you know, go look at 08-09, right? I wouldn't have owned a single, and I didn't. We actually made money in 08-09. I wouldn't have owned a single amount of those collateralized mortgage obligations that blew up the banks. So it's kind of hard to say. What I will say, I think it's extraordinarily easy to invest in private equity in this current environment and be sitting on 60 and 70% losses over the next 5 years, just based on where it's at. But when you go invest, and this is one of the things I say on my show all the time.
Yeah.
Don't violate your conscience and your principles when you're investing, but for God's sake, leave your politics on the sideline, because getting it right in investing is hard enough. But when you layer that another lens over it, which is your political ideals, right? You just take a very, very opaque task, investing, and you make it infinitely more difficult.
Yeah.
And that's, it's hard to invest successfully when all you're focused on is generating a profit. When you're not focused on generating a profit, which they weren't, they were investing in non-economically viable assets, okay? That means that they were investing for philosophical reasons, right? Mm-hmm. For political reasons. When you do that, you triple your chances of failure, right? And the reason they're okay to do that, and this is what people need to understand, the reason they're okay doing that and the reason nobody loses their job, because it's not their money,
right?
It's taxpayers, and there's an infinite kitty. And if they incinerate $1 billion chasing their greatest environmental, you know, pet cause, they don't care. And if you lose your home and your job in the process, they don't care.
The funds right now already being invested in things like bonds and treasury bills. So there's not the potential there for them to go totally haywire and lose 70%.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So that's like more of a safe investment. What we're suggesting in this amendment, if it passes, is far more risky. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah, with private equity in general, and I'm very careful of not giving advice. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would tell everybody listening to this show, go look at your 401k accounts and your investment accounts and make sure you don't have any private equity funds in them. Hmm. Okay. And the reason why, there are massive amounts of time bombs on private equity balance sheets that investment companies are desperately trying to unload. And the reason that it's not really making the news is because private equity doesn't have a stock market, right? They're all private corporations. So the only time you adjust the price is when you make a transaction. So let's say I go buy a company ABC and I buy it for $50 million. Well, let's say, remember, because it's not a public company, I don't have to disclose my quarterly data, right? So what you may not know is that company ABC that we bought for $50 million, its revenue just dropped by 75%. And now company B might not even be worth $10 million. But when I look at the private equity balance sheet, because there hasn't been a transaction, they haven't done a refinance or they haven't sold that company. When I look at the value of company ABC on their balance sheet, it's still listed at $50 million, right? So the unknowing investors come in, they're like, oh, look at all these marks, they look great. What they don't know is good luck turn around and selling it for that price. You're not going to. You're going to take a 75 to 85 cent on the dollar bath because the thing got nuked. And so when you hear guys like BlackRock saying that they want to start private equity ETFs, that is so that they can unload this worthless crap on the public.
And that's illegal. It's legal to do?
I mean, you register an ETF, you put the assets inside of it, you give it to the public and let them have at it. Right? You get the morons in Washington State to step in there with hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer insurance money. And they're talking about going into private equity. And you're looking at them going, that literally is like saying you want to load up on dot-com stocks in 2001. I mean, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Talk about being late to the party and they'll get nuked. They're going to be somebody else's exit liquidity.
Well, that's very helpful. I appreciate it because I think there's a lot of people who aren't quite sure which way to go on that. So we've presented them with the options. All right. In Money Moves, I want to talk to you about what AI is doing to white collar jobs. We were just discussing this on my show the other day, and I think it was Mike Rowe who, you know, did the dirty jobs thing. And he was telling people, look, like, you know, everyone's pointing you to tech, learn to code, do all these things. Technology is going to make your job obsolete. And it is. And it's kind of scary to watch how many of these people are going to be. I mean, Amazon's laying off roughly 30,000 people over AI.
No, and it's and it's going to continue to happen. We're at a very dangerous point here economically and as far as markets go. And people say that a lot. And I'm just warning people. In the last 2 days, you've seen NVIDIA's market cap rise by $500 billion, which is more than double their annual revenue on effectively no news. Okay. If this market moves on much further from here, I'm going to look at you and say, this is the beginning of the end. And the reason why I say it is because you're getting to valuations that are just, if you push higher from here, the market won't be able to sustain itself. I mean, you're so expensive already that if you push it, listen to where we're at. So now five companies as of today, okay, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon. If you combine them together, they are worth 70% of the entire size of the US economy. Five companies.
Wow.
Okay. We have never seen concentration of wealth like this. Go look at the MSCI World Index, right? The top 35% of the world index is Mag 7 stocks. So those companies.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all of China in the world, in the MSCI World Index. Now remember, China is the second largest economy in the world. 3% of the index is dedicated to Chinese stocks.
Wow.
People are saying, Zach, what does that mean? What it means is there is no point in history where more people have been piled into one country than investors around the world are piled into the United States. And I will tell you this right now. One of the best ways I have ever seen in my lifetime or my career that looks like the biggest, most guaranteed, surefire win over the next 5 to 10 years is to go long international stocks. And then people go, which ones? Any ones that aren't the US, right? And the reason I bring that up when we're discussing the economy and being in precarious times is the US stock market has become so much larger than the entire size of our economy. It's great when it's like this, but you've got a scenario now where if the stock market were to drop 40%, you'd be nuking an amount of wealth that is commensurate to the entire size of our economy.
Wow.
Yeah. Right before, when you had a 40% drop in the stock market, you know, that was the equivalent of maybe like, you know, 7% the entire size of the economy, right? If you're looking at a 40% drop now, you're looking at 100% the entire size of the economy. And so when you nuke that much wealth, what happens?
And what would cause it to be nuked? What would cause that to happen? What would trigger that?
Just people realizing the valuations they're paying in American stocks are completely uneconomical, and they're going to start pulling money out and putting them in other places that are trading at 1/6 the valuation.
Yeah.
Right. Like for instance, look at Chinese tech right now. Okay. Look what's going on with US tech. Chinese tech hasn't rallied anywhere close to that. Chinese tech isn't going to be helped by AI too.
Yeah,
it doesn't even make sense, right? So if AI is real and there isn't a bubble, then why do you own any US stocks right now? If it's not a bubble, put your money in tech that's everywhere else around the world that hasn't gone up 5X for no reason.
So why is it happening in US stocks and not Chinese stocks if they both benefit from AI?
Because we are at what I believe we're getting toward the end of is the longest and biggest bull market cycle in the history of the United States. You've effectively gone 15 years without a real proper bear market and a real recession. Okay. And then because of underlying dollar strength over the last 15 years, which the dollar strength was caused by all of the other economies getting wrecked during 08-09, right? Mm-hmm. We got smacked too, just we were the cleanest dirty shirt, right?
Yeah.
So because of that, all that international money flowed into the United States, because if you were a foreign investor at that time, you're sitting there going, boy, the United States stock market is really expensive, but I trust the dollar a lot more than I trust my own currency. So maybe you invest in the US stock market and it drops 20%, but if over that same period of time, your currency depreciates 30% against the dollar, you're 10% ahead,
yeah,
right? And so those dynamics just flooded the United States with capital to the point where US markets now make up 70% of global market capitalization, even though our economy makes up 20% of economic activity. Right? So it is literally the most crowded trade of all time. And why does it continue to go? It continues to go because as a professional investor, if you don't have a good year and the NASDAQ's up another 25%, clients are leaving you, right? It's been the one group of stocks that you can't afford not to be long because everybody's made money,
yeah,
right? The higher it goes, the more people are precipitated or more people are incentivized to throw money at it, which makes it go higher. And the world is replete with these stories. Every one of them, anytime asset prices detach from underlying fundamentals, the ride can be very exhilarating, but 100% of the time, those valuations end up falling back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
So we're in a precarious situation.
Yeah, and I'm worried about that. And then on the AI thing, and we started by talking about, you know, white-collar jobs and blue-collar jobs, but I'm also worried if you want to compound problems that this is creating in the economy and the AI, like, where are those people going to plug in when you've been making like 200 grand as a software developer or working at Amazon in some tech job and you don't have any other, where are you going to plug into the economy?
Yeah, it is going to be, there's going to be upsides to AI that are unforeseen,
yeah,
right? There will be. But what I will tell you is that, and part of it is just because of the nature of AI, it scales at a non-human pace. It's also not limited geographically, unlike, you know, previous technologies that were launched due to the internet. And so there's going to be unexpected benefits. That being said, it's not going to be like other new technologies, right? So with other new technologies, think about the automobile. Everybody was talking about all the jobs that the automobile would ruin.
Yeah.
Okay, but it also ushered in a whole nother set of jobs. It opened up, right? The benefits far outweighed the costs. When you look at AI, there's going to be tremendous benefits, but the costs are much higher.
Seems like it.
Right? Meaning, well, because it is the first technology that is, it's not the reason it was involved, or wasn't the reason it was created, but again, we'll use the automobile, right? The automobile was invented to open up the countryside, right? Give people access to things. If you think about the main core function of AI, it's to get rid of human labor.
Yeah, make things easier, make things faster.
Yeah, so there is going to be that. The other thing is that in a weird way, I think a lot of these tech companies that are investing all this money into it are building their own prison. Meaning, what makes those companies so amazing is they're able to spend a relatively little amount of money and scale instantly globally,
yeah,
and have very small cost structures and massive margins, and scaling to additional places costs virtually nothing, right? So you pay an upfront cost, you do what I call build a turnstile, right? Meaning the vast majority of costs is gonna be realized upfront, but once we realize that cost, we'll reap the benefits for a long time. AI is the inverse of that. You're gonna constantly have to be feeding AI money. You're going to have to constantly be feeding it mountains of electricity, which costs a lot of money. You're going to have to constantly be feeding it new chips. So And then you look at the size of revenue spend, and then you start looking at the size of the economy, and you're like, because remember, this is the thing that people forget. The future for AI could be just as good as everybody is saying it is, and it could still be a financial disaster, right? Meaning maybe it ends up creating more revenue than any new product, but if it took 2 to 3 times more revenue to invest in it, then it doesn't matter. That's still a failed technology. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you got to get a positive net return on your investment. And when you look at the size of investments they're putting in, that's where you sit there and you're like, I don't know where this profit's going to come from, because if AI is this successful, there won't be enough people with jobs to buy the stuff.
100%. That's kind of like, oh my gosh. I mean, you're 30,000 at Amazon. There's already other people laying off. So I don't know where they're going to plug back in. All right, Zach.
It's crazy times.
Depressing, but interesting stuff nonetheless. Thank you.
Other than that, everything's great.
Everything's fine. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot.